podcast. We're going to discuss the religious aspects of various horror and fiction things. Today we're starting with Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the comic, number one, by Roberta Aguirre-Sacasa and drawn by Robert Hack. I'm Zeph, and this is Amber. No.
I'm Amber. Hi.
I am a big nerd about religion and other things, but I got a master's of religion, so I like to look at fiction from that lens, because I'm not really doing anything else with that degree. And I was really interested in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina with a bunch of like parallels I saw to other religious things. So I'm also a big comics nerd, and that's probably go to that eventually.
Wow, sure.
That's it.
Well, I am also a giant nerd. I do not have a master's in divinity. I'm just a nerd. But I'm a horror nerd, and I really enjoyed The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on the Netflix, and then I've got into the comic. So I'm looking forward to this and getting deeper into it and some of the religious stuff, too, because that's just so cool.
Yeah, so I guess to start off with recapping. So right away we see Edward and a whole bunch of witches going to get Sabrina for whatever purpose that they don't really say.
Yeah.
And their mom running away.
Well, so, I mean, we got them running away and then him stealing the baby with magic. And then
yeah, that was
lobotomizing her, which I have so many problems with. But okay, you know, you do you, Edward. And then we go forward a little bit with Sabrina being... But what, like six or so?
I know they started it like it's dated so that the years are always like it's 64 and she's 14. So I think she was six at that part.
Oh, okay, good. I guessed well.
Yeah.
But, you know, having like sort of Carrie-esque fits because her telekinetic rules are out of control. And then her getting Salem,
yeah.
Which
Kat talks about. I'm so excited. I love Salem.
What's not to love about a talking cat? And then...
Especially an evil, world-dominating one. Like, that's all cats.
That is pretty much all cats. It's just they can't tell us about their plans normally. So I guess the town that they're in, it seems like it's full of witches. Because you get to the 1962 one, and one of the other girls is called Sabrina a half-breed. Which, if they were in a town full of humans, I'm assuming they wouldn't know she was a half-breed.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't spend time talking to other humans, like
right. And admittedly, I'm coming from. I saw the TV show first, so I'm like not sure what's going on with some of this, but because I'm used to her being like in the town where everybody's a human, and they're the only witches in town. It seems like
yeah. And then like they mention like they're leaving the coven, but Zelda's like immediately says, "Well, there's other covens. There's a nice little one starting up in Greendale." So I'm just like curious about that too, like if they're all related. Or if it's just like a completely different one. It's not really well established or explained.
No, but they do. I mean, I guess I assumed that the High Priest Crowley was over everybody. But yeah. That's just an assumption. So it could be like, you know, you have a pope and then you have little churches. I like the part with Aunt Hilda terrifying the little girl who was picking on Sabrina.
I did too. Yeah, so there's a little girl that's bullying Sabrina and calls her a half-breed, and so Hilda just, like, excuses herself and knows that the whole family's terrified of spiders.
Yep.
So she very friendly introduces herself to the girl, and giant house-sized spider. Yep. I think that would traumatize someone who's not afraid of spiders.
Yeah. Although I like to insert my own little bat canon here, is that Hilda is responsible for the whole family being terrified of spiders somehow.
I love that.
Definitely done this to them
before. I hope
that's
true.
Because she just seems so pleased with it.
That was very good.
Yeah. And then we get where Sabrina is apparently now able to read their minds, which is, you know, they're talking about that, meaning she's getting stronger. So it's obviously a power that all the witches have, but Sabrina's pretty young for it, I guess is what I was thinking. But again,
yeah.
It's not really like...
And they made a comment, too, like that one of the, like Zelda says, one of the reasons they want to leave is so that she'll be the strongest of her kind. Which, if they're around a bunch of mortals, that's not her kind. But that means she's strong even for a witch, but that, like, where she is, that's not the case? I don't know. It was weird. There were a lot of weird little comments they don't fully explain.
And, I mean, I hope that they get explained, like, further down in the comic book, but, you know, it's comics also, so who knows?
Yeah.
Because there's the whole thing about her well, I know this isn't in the first issue, but with Edward getting permission to go and marry Diana and have a kid with her, that like Satan himself told him it was cool, which sort of implies that Sabrina has more than just a regular witch. But looks like we get where they move. And then Ambrose comes in, who I love Ambrose. Not super so fond of his two familiars, but you know, they're also sort of fun. There's a little Rudyard Kipling thrown in there, and Sabrina scoots off to high school where she meets the worst named man of all time, Harvey Kinkle.
Yes.
I just have so many questions about what is in the water.
Yeah. And then they decide to do a love potion, and Salem gets really bent out of shape about it because it's a slippery slope, he says. Which really seems weird to me, and that's another thing I would love to know more about, because, like, they're witches. And he says that at one point, like, don't you want him to like you for who you are? She's like, this is who I am. I'm a teen witch. This is what we do. And the idea of witches being like, no, magic is a slippery slope, don't do it, seems really weird. Like, well, then what even was the point? Why are you witches?
True. There's a lot of stuff where...
I want to see later, like...
what the rules are.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, because there's a lot of stuff where they're like, they're raising her to be a witch and do magic, but then she's not allowed to do the magic, which is not explained yet. And in fairness, Salem is apparently a cat for trying to summon the four horsemen. And Ambrose is in trouble. I forget why Ambrose is in trouble. He also did something naughty.
Because he was at another school, and like a mortal school, I guess. And he got in a fight with one of his classmates and took away his hands.
That's right.
He did give them back,
and I think that should be taken into consideration.
Yes. But I also like that it's an interesting thing because, like, in these comics, like in the ants make an appearance in the Afterlife with Archie series too, and
they can
be in both like that one and this one. Yeah, kind of really cruel. And it's kind of cool here, though, that when Ambrose gets in trouble and they want to send him to the Nether Realm, they're like, no, 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 your family, we're going to take care of you. And they just keep taking people in when they need a home. So I think we're going to see that, like, family's really important to them. And that's
obviously. So I do have questions about their motivation, because they seemed really keen to get their hands on Sabrina, like they were promised her. But, yeah, they do still also take in people with seemingly no payment for it. So I love the ants. So Sabrina does the spell. It's not even sold as like a love spell.
Right.
Turns Harvey's heart to her. And then so we get Harvey actually coming up and he's going to take her to Goldfinger. And then we get Betty and Veronica, also apparently witches, who tried to summon a succubus. And they wound up summoning Madame Satan, which is a very large mistake. And I am so creeped out by her face. The tiny skulls for eyes thing. Not cool with that. The weird lipsticky mouth on her teeth. I just, I don't know.
The design is incredible. Like, I don't know. Oh, it's awful. And it's but it's gorgeous. Just, I'm just so happy with it.
It's good, but it's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Hack is really good with that. The cover, too, I meant to talk about that. I just love, like, the cover caught my attention the first time I saw it. And both, like, the out thing with the window and then the one inside it. It's just so good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good work.
I have the trade, so I have all the covers in the back.
Oh, yeah, you'd miss that. So it had like a window cutout, like Flowers in the Attic style, where you just have her face. And then when you open it up, you see her, but surrounded by like a skull and these little like tendrils gripping at her. And there's all these things that like, it's just really brilliant because it's beautiful. But it suggests right away that she's like in a lot of danger immediately, but she's got this look like, you know, she's strong enough for it. And it's just so good. It communicates a lot in a very small space.
Right. Yeah. They've got the cover on the front, but you know, they've got the, where it's just her walking down the street on the front of my trade. So yeah. Oh, but that is nice. I found the cover for that one. So, but that is the end of the first comic, is Madame Satan dipping into a pond for a while.
And, like, they mentioned, like, when Betty and Veronica summon her, there's little mentions, like, that Grundy warned them as a high priestess. And they say they can't tell anyone, even Archie. So either they don't have the same rules of secrecy, or Archie is also a witch. And I'm just really curious about this Riverdale coven. It would be fun to see. I don't think we will. I don't expect that they're going to show up in the comic ever. But I would love to know more.
Really not. But we can assume that Archie is a warlock. Let's assume. Because they're both fighting over him, and they're not supposed to go with mortals, which was, I guess, Edward's whole problem. So
I love Veronica's. We should have just cut him in half. Problem solver.
There. then you'd have the fight over who gets which half, or are they going vertically? I see problems with either of these plans. So that's the first comic. Yeah, and then there's the one in the, well, it's in the back of mine, but it's the old, old comic about Madame Satan.
Yeah, it has a, like, nicer, less terrifying design for Madame Satan. I kind of like.
Is it less terrifying? Because she still has little tiny skulls for eyeballs.
Yeah, but they're much more stylized. It's not, like, very realistic. Like, I don't know. I found it, like, more the suggestion of skulls as opposed to just rotting dead thing with rotting dead things in its eyes coming for you.
I guess, if you're going to go that way. But, I mean, it's still little tiny skulls inside a skull face, which also has a second set of lips on top of her teeth.
That's horrifying, however you look at it.
There's nothing good. There's this one panel where she's green, and I'm just not fond of it.
I can see that.
Not thrilled with the whole choice, but, you know. And that one's just sort of like an old school art too, which is always just a little bit like creepy on its own, but
very pulpy. I like it.
yeah. I mean, the whole thing is
simple too. Just very much good, like women bad and sex bad. And so, because she gets sent to hell for killing her fiance's parents, I believe, and then gets taken as like Satan's like second. And sent to collect men's souls by seducing them with hypnotism and kisses.
I mean, that is definitely evil, I guess. It also could just be the dude is like willing to throw over his brand new fiance to throw money at this chick who wears low cut dresses. You know, one of those two things.
Yeah, there was a very unsettling, annoying. Oh, the she devil made me do it. Not that I make bad decisions. Women are evil. And that his fiance even kind of, well, did they get married at the start? Was that actually his wife? I don't remember if they were at a, like, just a party or a wedding.
I don't know. I mean, she's wearing white, and they call it a toast to the couple, but it's also, when you read the thing, it says, the son Carl is about to be betrothed. No, I guess it is marriage. So it's his wife now.
Okay. He becomes so, to recap for people who didn't read it, he becomes so obsessed with her that he throws away all of his money. And then he's like, I love you, marry me. And she's like, ugh, you bought me some gifts. It's nothing. I need more. I need you to buy me literally all the things. So he tries to steal money from his dad, but his dad doesn't have any. So he steals his dad's gun and is going to go rob someone. But his fiance is like trying to save him and not at all. Like, she's just like completely pure and wants to help him and isn't at all angry. So she tries to get in the way. She gets shot. And when the police show up, she's like, no, he didn't do it. He's my fiance. I shot myself on accident and it's fine.
I'm such a clumsy little girl who let me have a gun.
Yes.
He runs off to confront Madame Satan, who he does not know is actually a demon. And then the fiance chases him down and finds her, and she's recovered remarkably well from a bullet wound, let me say. And then she faints. You know, conveniently.
Yep.
But true love
and
apparently
suddenly green, not at all sexy, because she had a sexy costume on, but regular now Madame Satan with the skull eyes is like, come get your kiss of death! And surprisingly, that doesn't work. And so they defeat her with the power of goodness and love.
I was going to say, I'm so surprised her last gambit of my kiss of death did not succeed. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what every man wants to hear. And then, so Madame Satan gets scooted back to hell, where she is again gorgeous and not at all skull-faced, and gets chastised by a giant red hand. Anita has fainted or is dead, I'm not sure. And then some...
I think she was just fainted. I think she was going to be fine, because power of goodness.
True. But then again, you know, there is that whole trope where the virginal good one dies sometimes, because she was just too pure and good for this world, and her life was given to defeat the evil. And then some dude on a donkey shows up.
Yeah. And we have to find Pep Comics number 18 to find out who that is. I don't care.
I really honestly want to know who the, like, Friar Tuck looking dude on the donkey is. I'm so curious. But,
I was wondering if you would know. Because, like, I was thinking, like, is it invoking, like, a saint or something that I don't know enough about Catholicism to recognize, but you didn't know either?
No, I didn't know either. But, I mean, in fairness, we do have a lot of saints. And the whole riding on a donkey and Friar Tuck thing is used by a couple. So.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah, so that was a fun one.
It was very odd, but enjoyable.
Yeah. It was interesting. I have a weird lot of weird thoughts about how witchcraft is used in this, and, like, we didn't wind up doing it for this episode, but, like, in the original issue one that was released on its own had also the first appearance ever of Sabrina at the back of it. And that didn't make it to the trade, I found out, so that's frustrating. But in it, like, witches are basically just agents of mischief, and they're not allowed to fall in love. And it's a really weird, interesting thing that, like, in this comic of Madame Satan, she's defeated by love. And I was sort of contrasting that with, like, romantic love being the undoing of witches, which is primarily, like, female empowerment, versus the Spellmans being all about family love. And I don't know where to go with that, but I think it's interesting.
Well, I guess it sort of goes back to, in theory, that whole fairy tale thing where, you know, true love's kiss breaks the curses, defeats whatever the evil plan is. But that has the whole implications of the true love being pure, you know? Like, nobody who was woken up by true love's kiss had ever actually spoken to or known that person before, like Snow White. I mean, I know those aren't the original fairy tales, but those are the ones we're sort of raised on now.
Yeah. Like, that's an interesting point. Like, I hadn't even thought of that. Like, oh yeah.
You wandered up
love
to
only
this glass
works if you don't know the person.
Yes, because then it's, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, it's really just pure lust at that point, because he's like, so hot, but so unfortunately dead.
Yeah.
But we sell it as pure, you know, true love. I mean, I guess that goes into the whole virginity and honor and white knight sort of syndrome that people have going on. I just ramble about that, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's great.
But you get, like, so I know you said you had, like, a bunch of notes and everything, so I don't know if you want to start with that.
Okay, sure. So, oh yeah, okay, so she was born on Halloween of 1950. And the main part of this, I think, was in, like, 1964. So she's 14 during the main part of this comic where she's doing love spells on Harvey. I'm just like, wow, 14-year-old love is special. Like, I don't miss that.
I luckily just skipped all of these feelings. Thank you. But, I mean, it's sort of like the whole Romeo-Juliet thing where you're young and stupid, but you don't know that you're young and stupid.
Right.
And this is clearly the most important thing that's ever happened to you. But if you waited a little while, you would realize that it's really nothing.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're going to follow up on that. Like, well, this love spell seemed really tame comparatively. Like, it's just like make him sweet on you. And I think Ambrose even said, like, see if it's meant to be or not. Like, it wasn't like controlling his thoughts. It was just sort of making herself appear sweeter, which is good. I don't think it's set up to, like, have him come back obsessed later.
It seemed like it was more, I think even Ambrose even said that it was, if it's to be, it'll turn his heart towards you, but not like you will definitely get this man, because you know. Yeah, so I'm looking at the panel and it says, you know, Sabrina's asking what now, and Ambrose says, you wait and see if Harvey sweetens on you. You wait and see if Harvey comes to you. If he's meant to, if it's what his heart wants, he will. So it implies that it's still, it's like working on something that might already be there, which, yeah, is pretty tame as far as, like, evil goes.
Very upsettingly, we have Cannibal Zelda in this. They move into a house next to a graveyard for an endless supply of free food. Zelda, gross.
It's not even the cannibalism that bothers me here. It's the digging up the old bodies to do it.
Lots of formaldehyde and, like,
if they were fresh, I'd be cooler with it.
Let's see, I was just looking up, like, Ambrose's Familiars was the next thing I had, and they're thinking, like, we are the descendants of Glycon or whatever, who, if you know who that is basically a snake puppet that some guy started a cult around in ancient Greece. It's fabulous. Salem's just like, Glycon is a fake god, and you're nothing, and I'm going to skin you. They have a great rivalry. I really appreciate them.
So, and I also like, okay, as a nerd, I like the whole, like, they were a gift from my Uncle Rudyard, which I assume is a reference to Rudyard Kipling, you know.
I missed it completely. That's a good point.
The whole mongoose snake thing. I know that Salem's not a mongoose, but he's called a mongoose a little bit earlier.
Yeah, Ambrose says, like, because he sniffs them out in the box. Like, oh, a bit of a mongoose in you. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I was too busy focusing on the Josie poster in his bedroom. Like, they have all these, like, bands of the time. And then there's a Josie and the Pussycats poster. And I'm just, like, fangeeking over here. This is my favorite thing.
Love the little references to, you know.
Yeah. And I forgot to say earlier in the thing where I was going to talk about Archie, the first comic I ever read when I was 8 years old was Archie, and it was one of those digests, so it had Sabrina comics in it that when the sitcom happened later, too many years had passed and I'd forgotten that I knew her from anything else, so I was rereading it later like, oh, Sabrina, and that's in that show. I was so excited, so I've got like years built up for Josie and Sabrina, and it was just like all of my childhood things getting made again.
I never really watched the TV show. I didn't read Archie comics as a kid either. I was definitely a Batman child, so it's all fairly new to me.
I wasn't allowed to watch anything fun. When I finally started buying like superhero comics when I was in high school with like money I got from babysitting and stuff, my mom was very suspicious of it, and she had to read them and be like, what's in these comics? These seem a little adult for you. So Archie was kind of the compromise where I was allowed to read comics while I was still a kid under my parents' rules.
My parents never really tried to police what I read. I don't know if you remember the time that the girl who was like into like the masquerade, vampire masquerade, she and her boyfriend killed her parents. And that was the only time that my mom was like, yeah, maybe you should give me all your vampire books. I'm concerned now. But other than that, they just sort of left me to it. My mother literally left me in a comic book store one time and forgot me. So yeah, there was no stopping me. yeah, but no, I grew up on Batman and Robin. So all of this, you know, having normal life adventures is just very adorable to me.
And we have another reference. In her human, like, mortal high school, there's a character named Roz who immediately is like, stay away from Harvey, he's mine. And yeah. She's a character in the series, the TV, Netflix series, whatever. And later in the series, apparently, was also a witch character, but originally just a Sabrina rival. But it was really cool seeing, like, all these different ways that they, like, included all the original characters. But now just this writer has interpreted that character in, like, two very, very different ways. And it's cool to see. Yeah. How in some ways they're going to be like exactly the same and in some ways completely different things. Archie stuff in general has such an open canon. Like, there was a Betty and Veronica meet Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn comic I read earlier this year. And they do stuff like that all the time. So there's just constantly like overlapping universes and you can change things in so many different ways.
Lord. I'm just trying to imagine what that looks like. Wow.
It was pretty good. It was written by a Batman writer, so I had, like, some issues that I didn't like how they interpreted the Archie characters necessarily, but open universes, open canon, you can do that. So, I mean, it was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Which is really all that matters.
So, apparently, when I wrote down about the warning from Salem about her using magic, mm-hmm. and Grundy warning Betty and Veronica, apparently, not to do some kind of magic, I really, really want to know what these warnings look like. Are they teaching them magic at all? And, like Zelda mentions that they should be teaching it at home, not at schools anyway, but what are they teaching? Because we don't show them learning anything. I don't know how she's supposed to use her magic. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, if you're not teaching them anything, you're going to wind up with, like, the girls, where they have apparently stolen a book and are, you know, summoning a demon without knowing what they're doing. So I assume that they're teaching them, like, basic spells?
Probably. I mean, what do they need to teach them? Because she's having a levitation party as a six-year-old, where they're just, like, not in the house. That's our one magical rule.
Right. But, like, in theory, if the magic is something that's innate to them, like they're a separate species almost. Like, if you don't learn how to control the magic, she could theoretically kill somebody. And yeah, they might not care about mortals, but if she's powerful enough, she could kill another little kid. Mm-hmm. Like another little witch kid. So you've got to teach them some sort of control.
Yeah.
But I guess I was imagining too that maybe it's more just like with you teaching the kids religion at home, where it's not so much, okay, you do this, this, and this, but this is what we believe. Yada yada yada. More theory than actual practice.
Right. I hope we get to see more of that.
It would be nice, but I mean, they've got to learn it somewhere. I mean, I know in the comics they don't send her to the unseen school.
Right, that was a weird thing. And we'll get to it when we watch the show, but I was really confused about why she was going to school as a 16-year-old for the first time in the Netflix show, but there were children at the school. Here, she started at Unseen Arts, because Zelda mentions it by name, and that's the school that they left. That was apparently a witch school.
Right.
So, now that she's not there, I guess she's learning at home.
Right, so I sort of imagine it in the comics as, again, sort of like, okay, you go to Catholic school, And then you don't go to Catholic school anymore. You just switch to public school. And now you're getting half your education, half the stuff they would have taught you in Catholic school at home, and half, you know, the actual education part at school.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I didn't think about it like that. Like, there's, I guess I didn't know anyone who went the other way. I knew people who started in elementary school and went to Catholic school, but it would make sense, I guess, that you don't necessarily, not everyone follows the same path that way. And just because she,
right,
like, her parents sent her to school at 16 doesn't mean everyone does. So
that
makes
right.
sense.
And I the friend of mine, she went from like kindergarten all the way through almost high school. But the school didn't go through high school at that point. And so that was her Catholic school. And then she went to high school and, you know, public school. So that was a big difference for her. So that, I think, is why I just assumed that was sort of what it was like for Sabrina.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I went to public school my entire life, so I have no context for that.
I wanted to go to private school, and my parents put me in a Southern Baptist-run private school for a little bit.
Oh.
That went so well.
I didn't even like being a Baptist on Sundays.
Well, it was also unfortunately in a phase where I was like, I know everything and you guys know nothing. And yeah, no, it was fine. No. But I'm interested also in like what, because like, okay, you have in some of the spells that they reference, right? You have the, you know, turning Harvey to her spell sort of thing, whatever they call that. But then you also have, like, she had a spell of coercion and a spell of protection that she used on the bees.
Yeah. It's like, thank you, bees, but thank you also for a spell that made it so you didn't have a choice. Great.
So, I mean, she does know some magic, because I'm going to assume that Ambrose didn't bother to teach her three spells at once. It would have been easier for him to just do it himself. So, and I don't know, like, is it like, okay, Dresden Files, but like the rules of magic where you can control like minor creatures but you can't control something like a human, because she's got a spell
sense,
of coercion.
Yeah.
She can make things do what she wants, but does it only work on like lower, you know, quote-unquote beings?
Yeah, you think, or maybe at the very least, like, it probably is expandable, but you'd have to have more power or control, like, you'd have to know
right.
how to pull it
or
off
extra ingredients, or, you know, a willingness
yeah.
to do it almost, because I sort of assume most magical things, it's partially your will create, you know, making these things happen.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, and then, like, Salem references the monkey's paw story at one point where he's trying to convince her, you know, to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to think of that as, like, it's, you know, everybody knows this is, like, a little horror story in reality. But, like, in that world, that maybe it's just, like, a warning. Like, no, this really literally happened. And this is why we don't do this.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would be a definite possibility. I also, like, because her response to him then is just like, this from the guy who tried to summon the horseman of the apocalypse. How did that go
yeah.
wrong? That sounds like a fun story. I want that.
I mean, I think really the question is, how did he think that was going to go right? I can't think of a lot of scenarios in which summoning the four horsemen of the apocalypse seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
You know? Just a thought. So, and does that mean that Salem used
bit,
to be a
yeah.
person? Like, I
yeah.
know in the original show, he was a person and he got cursed to be a cat.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of assuming that he used to be a people.
Yeah, like, in that, it seems to deliberately reference it. That's not always the case. Like, I kind of, they didn't say that, like, Ambrose's familiars used to be people or anything, but he's specifically referenced that way. And it's kind of,
yeah.
it makes the whole thing creepy that he's just always around watching Sabrina, like, in her room. I don't like it. That always made me uncomfortable in the sitcom too. Like, no, that's not a cat. That's a really creepy old man.
I mean, that is a fair assumption. There is that he is a creepy old man now. But I mean, on the other hand, how long has he been a cat? Maybe he has fully embraced his catness now.
Yeah,
and is no longer interested in, you know, Sabrina. I'm hoping that's where we're going.
Hoping.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
He's just not there anymore.
Like, I mean, he acts like a cat in other ways. It's not exactly like...
No, it's sort of like he's been a cat for so long, he's starting to actually be a cat.
Okay, fair.
Maybe that's sort of the magic.
He does say that he misses his human body, though, but there are, like, other, like... Yeah, I would have missed having thumbs, too. That's fair.
Yes, I mean, that's fair. They're very useful. But, I don't know, I mean, it's... A lot of sort of beginning setup in this one and everything. And I'm also curious, not this, this has nothing to do with the religion, but I'm curious as to why her hair turned white.
So curious. And it happens so fast.
And it's
yeah.
not, nobody else's hair is white. Her aunt's hair. I mean, unless they're all dyeing their hair, which seems unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility. It might also be something about her, like, half-breedness or whatever makes her special, that the devil was cool with it.
The fact that, like, the devil's like, you know what? I'm just gonna poke around a little bit, see what happens. You know? Fun, let's say. Because, I mean, Betty and Veronica, I mean, again, unless they're dyeing their hair is normal colors.
Yeah.
And Madame Satan's the only one, other one that has white in her hair. So, don't know. It's curious.
I would say, like, there was an interesting thing, too, like, Salem says, like, his reason for being anti the glamour spell is because we moved here so you could be yourself, and if the aunts were then dyeing their hair because they don't like the white hair, that's pretty vain and not in line with that message. So I'm gonna assume that's not the case, and it's just Sabrina, which is really weird and cool.
True, but is the being yourself thing just a Salem thing? Because... you know, also, Salem can't be himself anymore.
That's sad. That's true.
I mean, though I have theorized that he has embraced his catness, so it's less creepy that he is hanging around Sabrina so much. you know, he also can't ever return to being himself, because he goes where Ambrose is trying to show her all these different glamours she could use. Oh, and that's something. So I found it funny, the mention of when he changes her into look like Marilyn Monroe, and she yells at him about graven images. That seems real weird coming from a bunch of, like, Satan worshipping witches.
Yeah, and totally unexplained. Like, what's the problem with graven image? Is it, do they have, is it basically just Christianity but flipped so that the devil is God? Do they have their own rules? They don't explain anything. I need more.
No. If they flip it and the devil is God, then... in theory, if you're following, like, this is a mirror thing, then who's the Jesus figure? Or is it just that God is still God, but the devil is the true heir? Or what, you know what I mean? That's not the right wording. But, like, and then somebody else at some point just says, who was it? Madam Satan bit, maybe? Where somebody just says, like, oh God, oh God. Which I found real funny, because, again, Satan worshipping witches. But...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's, towards the end, where Madame Satan, because we don't know who she is yet, but she's going into the pond and everything, and she can vaguely sort of remember that she was supposed to marry Edward, and then this mortal woman, like, came and was a skank at her, and then she killed herself. And, you know, so the line says, which is why she took her life, and in parentheses it says, oh God, no, and was consigned to Gehenna. Assumes that killing yourself is a sin. It just seems weird to me.
Yeah. The idea of sin in general. There's so much. I have so many things to talk about that mostly this is reminding me of things in the show, so I'm gonna wait, but it's a lot. Like, they talk about sin a lot in it, and you make a good point here that, like, that was apparently a sin. What are sins? What does that mean? When you worship the devil, aren't you supposed to sin?
Aren't you basically just going, no, screw you to God in some ways? I mean, I know that's not the whole bit of it, but why are you worried about this then?
Yeah. What's the punishment? Well, apparently going to Gehenna, but...
No, but, like, if you worship the devil, isn't that, like, okay, I'm going to be with the devil? So then, isn't that the point?
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of implied anyway. Does being a good Satanist get you into heaven? I don't think so.
I don't think so. There's something about that that seems flawed. Don't put my finger on it.
You get sent to the good part of hell. Versus the,
like,
bad,
logic,
like, giving up, well, on life part of hell.
And I think this is in the show, so I don't want to go too far, but I think at some point in the show they're like, well, you don't get tormented as much, you know, or, and you get to live a very long life, so you get to put off having to go to hell in theory, but you know, you're still gonna go there, and you've done a bunch of bad stuff in your life, which, if God has anything to do with what goes on in hell, he's probably just gonna assign you to a lower rung.
They're really big on, I guess you'd call it justice, but, like, extreme justice. Like, oh no, you didn't want your baby taken away, now we're gonna take your mind away. And I don't even know what Edward did, but somehow got him put in a tree for who knows how long, so that he couldn't come to Sabrina's 6th birthday party, and still hasn't shown up by the time she's 16. Like, how?
Whoa.
I'm not sure living longer to avoid hell longer is much worth it if you're living with witches that constantly punish you in horrible ways for small things.
Like, So Edward is implied as a fairly strong warlock, and he apparently supposedly got a message direct from Satan about the whole Sabrina thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do to wind up in that tree, and who put him in the tree? Who was strong enough to do that?
I think we do find that one out later, but I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read it, so I have no idea. Okay. I don't remember what happened, and it's like a lot that they just show his face in the tree, and okay, that's the thing that happened.
That's pretty
apparently.
Horrible. I mean, I find that whole tree thing fairly horrible. That and what he did to Diana,
mm-hmm.
like locking her away and making her crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if you know what? I don't know why, but if you really cared about her, you would have just killed her rather than do that. But I find that the way they both wind up is real parallel.
Yeah.
Like, she's lost her mind and can't do anything. And he, I'm assuming, is still conscious in that tree and also can't do anything. They're both trapped.
That's a good point. Like, if it's a punishment for that, I'm kind of on board for it. But I don't feel like it is because they seemed cool with that. But
no, I don't think it has anything to do with that at all. Or at least not what he did to her.
Right.
It could have been the whole, you know, having the mortal child thing. But again, he supposedly got permission and that they were cool enough with it to let him have Sabrina.
Supposedly got permission. I have questions about that too, because like, did he have verification of this, or is it just, hey, I'm a priest and the devil told me it was all right?
And he did sort of like play chicken with the high priest Crowley, where he's like, hey, you want to summon Satan and find out? Let's do it. You know? And Crowley didn't call his bluff. So yeah, but how do you? That's like, you know, people having visions now. How do you get verification that that's real and you're not just hallucinating or lying?
It's a problem with a lot of religion things that you can, you know, give people authority to tell you what
absolutely.
God thinks. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's one thing I think that they did well. That, like, I guess they haven't explored it much here, but just that a lot of this is on say-so. Like, Edward, has summoned Satan into his living room. I read that wrong, like, three times. I was like, I thought that it said it's into his living room. It's in the living flesh, which is very different, but still. Summon Satan three times. If no one else has done that, who knows this, and who, like, if he just says he did it on his own a different time, and he said all these things, but you can't hear them because you can't summon Satan, who's going to check him on that? He can say anything he wants.
Right. It would be like the whole, like, no, he was just here, you just missed him, I promise, but he left you a note. You know?
Yes.
Oh, he does say in the living flesh. I also misread that as, like, into his living room. Oh, that's good.
Because he's like standing in the living room when he says it. I could just picture it happening right there. It made sense.
Oh.
And I had to read it over again to figure out what it was actually saying.
You know, a cup of coffee ready for him and everything. Just be nice and friendly.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no way to verify that. I mean, I guess they have ways of telling the truth, because you see that further in the comic, or at least, but those were also circumvented, so who knows?
You said the thing about if he really loved Diana, and I had questions, like, if he did, because he seems, like, really ready to, like, he doesn't really mind, like, destroying her brain, and he was taking her child away from her. But he does say, like, I wish I could take away the suffering from you. And he doesn't kill her, but what he does isn't really more merciful than killing her. And it could just be, like, it takes more energy to do that. Like, there was no reason to have to deal with a dead body. I just did the easy thing. Like, there's a lot there, and I wonder how he chose her and why, and if he cares about her at all. I don't know.
I question that, too. But, I mean, in fairness, dealing with a dead body, they're a bunch of cannibals. Like,
good point.
Apparently,
he would just be like providing dinner.
Right. And in celebration of my daughter's whatever you guys are taking her away for, here's dinner. But also, they have this like weird connection with the woods that they're in when they catch up to her. So who's to say that they couldn't have just left her there and nobody else would come to it? Because they're like appearing out of the trees and everything.
Yeah.
And he's able to switch the baby with a creepy ass looking doll. Right? So, you know, I think he had other options. And you'd say, okay, well, he didn't kill her because he loved her. But then he does worse. He takes away her mind and leaves her locked up with literally no one to ever look after her, like to check on her. So it would have been merciful. I mean, maybe that's it. It's evil. But it would have been more merciful to just kill her.
Not a nice character. However you look at it. Like, I guess it doesn't matter. I'm like, did he like her at all? But if he does, he doesn't show it well. So it doesn't really matter. Like, Edward Love is not a love you want.
No, it doesn't. And I've read this whole trade, and we're not going to talk about it because it happens later, but no, I am deeply creeped out by Edward and worry so much about whatever plans he has.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole, I don't know. I wonder if there's something about Diana, like specifically, that has less to do with what he thinks about her and more to do with whatever Satan's plan is, which that is a funny way. That's a funny set of words to be saying, but like, if there's some, you know what I mean? Like something, if she has witches in her lineage, I'm not sure how that works. How far back does the ban on consorting with mortals go?
Yeah.
So still doesn't answer why he didn't just kill her. It would have been easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they did need her for something later, maybe like it's useful for Sabrina. If they ever need like some sort of incentive for her or anything.
Yeah. But I don't think Sabrina even knows that she's still alive.
No, they could surprise her at some point. Just like, oh, here's your mom, by the way, and do this thing and we'll fix her brain. Like, that's a lot. There's nothing here to suggest that that's what's happening. I'm just like, I guess if I'm going to stretch and find reasons it would be useful to have her alive, like, it's a bargaining thing later.
But I guess, but you'd also, okay, and maybe this is just me, but that always annoys me because it's like, prove that that is, you know, my mother, my long lost whatever, and why are you assuming that I care anything for this person that I literally have never met? Just because you say that she is my mother.
Fair. Although she does,
like,
have
how would
great...
you prove that? And then
they have DNA tests in the 60s? I don't know how they'd prove that. Which is probably
just
be like, take this potion. Ah, see, it's blue. It's your mom, because we said so.
Sure. Sure, but given that we later watch Sabrina fake results to two different tests that are supposed to 100% prove the truth, how much do you trust that potion? Now I have, like, visions of, like, the witch version of Maury Povich. You are not the father. I guess I could see if, like, there's something special about Diana's bloodline and you had to have a kid that mixed her and Edward. If something happened to Sabrina, you'd be like, all right, round two. But that brings up other really problematic things, you know, like the fact that she has no brain at this point. Yeah, so many evil things that could have happened.
Yeah, this book is really dark. And the first issue isn't as dark as I remember. But I know when I was reading this comic, like, every single issue, I would be like, that was darker than I really want my Sabrina comics to be. Maybe I won't read the next one. But they took, if you were following this when it came out, they took so long between each issue that I forgot. And I would be like, oh, look at that pretty art on the cover. I love Robert Hack's arc. I'll buy one more and just see how I like it. And I'd be like, so dark. I'm not going to read the next one, but I read it. I read every single one. They got me.
That's how they suck you in.
Yep.
Pretty art and then a good story. Creepy, but good.
Yep.
So, really, the biggest thing that bothers me about this is Madam Satan's little baby eyes. I just, God, it's just so weird. And I think half of it is I'm looking at it and I know that there's magic involved here. And I'm like, how is she actually seeing? And who applied the lipstick? Who applied the lipstick to her teeth so perfectly?
That's a good question.
Like, I know that these are not actually important questions, but these are the things that I stare at and I go, but how?
Maybe she can't see. She just has a good sense of smell? I don't know. She can probably see magic.
She has some, I'm sure she can see magically. Also, the babies have little tiny eye sockets. Maybe she can see out of those. I don't know. But it's magic. That's fine. Just so many questions.
Yeah.
And how does she have a full head of hair? But again, not actually important. Because, I mean, I guess she's not a skeleton. The rest of her body has flesh.
Yeah, just not her face. It just has extra skulls.
Extra skulls.
She's a weird character.
She's a weird character. And I know that we're going to get into this when we go into the show, but the differences between the character in the comics and the character on the show is, like, they're entirely different people.
Yes.
So
I'm very glad. Like, in general, the show is, to me, much less dark and easier to watch, to look at.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, like I said, I've read the first trade, so I, like, and some of the stuff that happens with Harvey and all that stuff and how they did it on the show, it is much less creepy and wrong on the show.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said, too, for maintaining the creepy factor.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. I just, like, it's a lot. I don't usually watch or read a lot of horror. And I made an exception for the Archie stuff because I was so excited by all the different directions they were going in and all the new things they've been trying the last few years. And I've sort of learned to like it. But Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is really the first horror thing that I started at the beginning and kept going all the way through as far as it's been so far. And it was a very dark start. I'm still not quite used to it.
Well, I don't know. I watched the Chilling Adventures, binge-watched that after I finished binge-watching the Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. So comparatively, Sabrina is much lighter.
Really? Okay. So I'm going to stay away from the Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, but it's so good. It's so... There are so many, like, Okay, you haven't seen it. I'm not gonna do it. But I have a theory about the house.
Maybe.
That I'm trying to prove.
Maybe we can do that one eventually if I learn to like have more of a stomach for this stuff.
Oh, it's, there's some stuff in there. Somebody I know from work, I told her it was a great show, but she didn't like horror. And I said, well, then you shouldn't watch it. And she watched it anyway. And she made it, I think, into the second episode and had to fail out of it. And I'm like, but I told you, if you like horror, it's great. If you don't like horror, you shouldn't watch it. And it's not gory.
Okay.
Is all I'm saying.
Well, that's more... probably fine then. Yeah, I used to watch ghost stuff. I can't handle the cannibalism and the, like, all of the gore that happens with Edward later that we won't talk about.
Yeah. But no, I'm not a big, like, slasher. The gory stuff is, like I call slasher stuff. I like classic ghost kind of stuff, so.
Cool.
Yeah, but it was very good. But again, the Shirley Jackson novel is one of my favorite haunted house stories of all time, so. I'm a little prejudiced, but yeah, no, I'm enjoying the comics so far. I want to pick up the Afterlife with Archie stuff.
It's very good. And
zombies?
Yeah, it's about zombies. It's the zombie apocalypse started by Sabrina by mistake. So she's really important to it, but not actually much of a character in it after the first issue.
And does it tie in with this Sabrina, or is it like a alternate
nope,
Sabrina? Like you said, open world.
Universes. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Which sadly means
havoc
no
wherever
Betty
she
and Veronica witches.
Oh, that is unfortunate. I'd like to see them witches in the apocalypse with zombies.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Would. A lot of that's fun, though. Yeah, if you like this and if you want to see more Archie horror, there's also a Jughead The Hunger series, which is my absolute favorite, but then I'm a huge Jughead fan. But it's where, like, Jughead's defining trait, if you're not very familiar with Archie, is basically that he eats all the time. And he's not interested in relationships. He just wants burgers. So they took
right.
that a step further, and now he's a werewolf, and it's fantastic. And then coming out in January, there's one called Blossom 666, where two other characters in the Archie universe, the Blossom twins, are both Omen-style antichrists that are, like, in competition for who gets to be the real antichrist or something. It looks great. I'm so excited.
I have no idea who these people are, but that sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, they've got a lot, and they've done so much lately, so yeah, really excited about all the stuff they're doing and about what happens next with Sabrina.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, I think that wraps up
I
my
wanted
stuff
to.
So next time.
And again, it's just like the very beginning.
Next time we'll talk about the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Christmas special on Netflix, which hopefully won't involve too much that you need to know from watching the series ahead of time, so we won't have to get too spoilery. We'll see.
Depends on how they do it, I guess, because it could be a Christmas before the series happens.
It could, yeah. I think I even saw that there's a young Sabrina cast in it. I could be wrong, so that might be the case. We'll find out.
Right, little flashback.
All right, well, thanks for talking to me, and see you next time.
Very nice to talk to you for real this time.
Yeah, bye.
All right. Bye.